Amen. You may be seated in the King in the name of the Lord. What's mine is what's yours is mine, and what's mine is yours. If I can draw your attention to that last bit of that verse, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Most of us know it is for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, I know if you've been paying attention, watching around the world consistently, or going back and looking at any of these passages, especially these last couple of weeks now, I have suggested something that may be a bit startling, and I've gotten quite a bit of feedback from it, and nobody's mad about what I'm saying. They're just saying, PA, this is kind of something new, because most of us, when we have prayed the Lord's Prayer, have prayed for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever, amen, as a part of the Lord's Prayer at the very end. It's kind of, it starts with praise, and it ends with praise. It starts with hallowed be thy name, and then it ends with us saying to God, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And for most of us, I'm suggesting something a little bit differently. I'm suggesting that Jesus was teaching them to pray and then at the end stopped and said, because yours is the kingdom and yours is the power and yours is the glory forever and ever. Amen. I know for most of us, we thought that what the prayer was supposed to be is that it ends with, well, God, yours is the kingdom, and it is, the kingdom does belong to God, and yours is the power, and power does belong, and glory belongs to God. We thought that that's Jesus was saying when you end a prayer remembering that the kingdom is his, and the power is his, and the glory is his, and I know that for many of us, maybe watching around the world, particularly if you are familiar with the Lord's Prayer, it's interesting today that at the end of praise, I said, let's pray the Lord's Prayer, and just about everybody knew the Lord's Prayer. I mean, we usually put it on the screens. I don't know if we put it on the screens today. Do we have it on the screens today? No, we did not. Did we have it on the screens? No, we did not. So most of us know the Lord's Prayer. How many know it? If you know the Lord's Prayer, raise your hand. So most of us know the Lord's Prayer. We were taught it at some point. And most of us, for most of us, prayer is a serious thing. For most of us. And when I say prayer is a serious thing, I don't mean that you're a prayer warrior, because there are some folk who are prayer warriors, like Elder Paul. I don't see him this morning. But there are most of us who are serious prayer warriors, like Elder Paul and Pastor Al and others. And we've had, my father's a prayer. I know what a prayer warrior looks like, because my father's a prayer warrior. And so most of us, when I say you're serious about prayer, I don't mean that you're a prayer warrior. I just mean you pray. You pray over your food. Before you start eating your chicken nuggets, you pray. Before you eat that drive-thru food, before you eat your pop-ass chicken sandwich, you pray. I don't know if you've ever been so hungry that you just started eating before you prayed, and then you help us, Holy Ghost. I don't know if you've ever said, Lord, bless the food that we've already received. I don't know if it's ever come and it just smelled so good and the biscuit was just so good. And then you just, before you just, and you was like, oh, Lord, bless this food. I don't know if you've ever prayed for the food while you're chewing it. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, and then something happens, you feel bad. Because I don't know if you've ever ate with heathens and they just sat down and just started eating and you think, wait a minute, can we pray? I don't know if that's ever happened, because for us, prayer is a serious thing. I don't know if you've ever prayed for yourself before you took a test. I know I have. I don't know if you've ever prayed for yourself and you didn't study for the test, but you was believing that God would work a miracle in your life. I don't know if you've ever prayed that. I have. I didn't study a lick, but God. I didn't study at all, but God. I didn't study not a little bit, but God. I didn't read the book, but God. That's what I was saying. I didn't read Tom Sawyer, but Jesus, you know the end from the beginning. You the Alpha and the Omega. And you can write this essay. I don't know if you've ever done that. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but I prayed for God. I didn't get the results that I wanted, but that was because of my faith. But I don't know if you've ever prayed for something like that, but I've prayed for that. I don't know if you've ever prayed before you got in your car and prayed after you left and prayed in situations. Most of us are serious about prayer, even if we pray just for a second, even if we whisper a prayer, even if we breathe a word of prayer. I don't know if you've ever prayed before you went into a club. Oh, I guess not, but I guess that. I don't know if you ever prayed before you went into a party and said, Lord, I know that this is not something I should be doing, but God, have your way. Lord, I know I shouldn't be here, but God, watch over. I don't know if you ever prayed. I don't know if you ever prayed before. Prayer is something serious for us, and especially for us. Most of us in the room are African Americans. I'm sure that it's not just African Americans watching through the stream, although with the way I preach lately, maybe, but I don't think so. But folk are watching literally around the world. And I know, I just want you to know, for us, for black folk, for African Americans, when we pray, the titles are important. We pray different. When we talk to God, it's honoring. We'll just talk to God like he's anybody. We pray. Prayer is important. We like to give God titles, and we like to call on his name, and we like to, and we, when we pray, we don't just say, well, God, how you doing? It's great. No, when we pray, we lay stuff out. How we start the prayer and how we end the prayer is very serious. And for me, Pastor Andy, or any leader to suggest that this last part of the prayer, but that it's not the close. Most of us have thought of it as the close of the prayer. I have thought of it as the close of the prayer. When we prayed it today, we prayed it as the close of the prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I'd like to make another suggestion to all of us, and I've been making it for a bit now, that perhaps Jesus said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, and then stopped and looked around at everybody. I'm sorry, this is just, I've got it in my mind that maybe he stopped and took a minute and took a breath and looked at everybody and said, because yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever. Ever and ever, amen. That word thine there. The reason why we heard it in the King James Version, thine, but that word in the Greek, sou, that Greek word also can be translated thine own is the kingdom. It still applies for you to say, for God, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. But there really isn't anything that crazy about dealing with the text and suggesting that Jesus might have been saying to his disciples, and you know what? The kingdom belongs to you. And you know what? Power belongs to you. And you know what? Glory is accessible to you, because what is yours is mine, and what is mine is yours. And is that so hard for us to accept? Is it that difficult for us to accept? I don't think so. But in case there's any doubters, I wanted to take a minute and say, is it so difficult for us to accept that perhaps Jesus is accepting? Is it that hard to accept that the kingdom is yours? That the kingdom is yours. Pastor Andy's saying, folks, Pastor Andy, are you saying that Jesus is saying, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever? We always told God that God was the kingdom and God's was the power and God was the glory. But is it that hard for us to accept that perhaps Jesus did all of this for kingdom to belong to us? For Jesus died on the cross that the kingdom would belong to us. That Jesus sent the Holy Spirit so power will belong to us. So that God has worked a miracle so that glory would belong to us. That there's mysteries that are destined for our glory before time began. The word says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Is it that difficult for us to understand that? I was talking to one of my sons, AJ, and AJ is one of my triplets and basketball player, and on his way and plays in a school in the St. Louis area on his way, and me and him were having a conversation. Something happens when your teenagers get it. I don't know if you have teenagers watching around the world. I don't know if you have teenagers. And now some of us have younger children. And but I don't know if whoever has teenagers, if you're in the room or watching live stream or wherever you may be, something happens when they get it. For a while, you can start to wonder, are they ever going to get it? Can I get a witness in the building? For a while, you're wondering, will they ever get it? For a while, you're thinking, I don't think they're ever going to get it. For a while, you're thinking, I don't know if they, because there's a process that children go through. And this isn't in the message, but I'll throw it out here for free. Children go through a process. The beginning of the process is a discovery process. When they're little babies, they're discovering. They're taking in more information than ever before. They're discovering. That's why they put everything in their mouth, because they're orally fixated and they're tasting and everything is just discovering. And they're touching this and they're touching that. You got to watch them. When they're one and two, you got to watch them. You can't wrap them up in duct tape. You got to let them walk around because they're taking in information as much as possible, but they kind of have a death wish. Anybody have a teenager? Anybody have a two-year-old with a death wish? Anybody have a three-year-old with a death wish? No. I had a brother, and when I was six, my brother was two. My brother Phil, who y'all know around the world, was born. And my brother Matthew, who was two when I was six, my mother was sick after my brother Phil was born. And so she was laid up for a couple of months. And so saints are coming in trying to help us with the baby. And somebody brought Matthew to me. He was two. And pointed him in front of me and said, this is your responsibility. And so I've been responsible for other people since I was 6 years old. I don't know if anybody else is any oldest in here where you got in trouble for what other people did. I need a witness in the building. You got in trouble. It wasn't my mother, but somebody, one of the saints or someone, my mother was sick. Somebody brought Matthew over to me and said, this is your responsibility. And my brother Matthew, who's an amazing person now, but oh God. I'm talking about somebody trying to jump off the porch. I'm talking about somebody who just literally trying to kill themselves. I don't know if you've ever been one around these 1-3-year-old boys who just want to climb everything and die. I saved that boy's life so many times, he don't even know. He was the kind of kid that if he had a knife, he's trying to stick it in a plug. And this is before y'all had all the fancy plug caps. We didn't have none of that back then. We didn't have them fancy locks on the cabinet. If you drank some bleach, you just going to see Jesus. That's all back then. You better watch. If you drank something too bad from under that cabinet, well, guess it was your time to go. They didn't have all this stuff they have now. I had to watch him. Because he was in that discovery. Children go through discovery. And then after discovery is testing. Some of y'all got somebody two testing you. Some of y'all got somebody 1.5 testing you. Somebody two testing you. You say, come here, and they walk away like they didn't hear you. They're testing you. You say, it's time to go to bed. They say, I don't want to go to bed. They're testing you. You lay them down and say, don't get up. And they get up and come in your room. They're testing you. They're testing you. They test. You got to help them. I don't want to say how. I don't want to get sued. Ask me later. Send me a DM. I'll tell you what to do privately. But they test. If you help them during the test, they get to the third stage, which is drawing conclusions. And if they draw the right conclusions at about 8, they can get some sense. 9, they get some sense. Kind of trust them to do some stuff. You can let them out your sight because they done got some sense. Because they discovered, they tested you, you beat them. I mean, cut that out. You help them, and now they are drawing the right conclusions. And so now 9, 10, 11, they can take their bike and go somewhere. You could trust them. They've got some sense. But then puberty strikes them. It's a lightning bolt and erases their disc. And they start back over. Now they're discovering again. They're discovering themselves. Stuff done grown. Help us, Holy Ghost. They didn't like girls before, but they like them now. They didn't like boys before. Oh, boys are yucky, but now they're like, hey, boy. Because they are discovering boys. They're discovering you. Now they know your room's messy too. Oh, I need a witness in the building. Now they know, since they're on their cycle, they know you're on yours. See, nobody want to say amen on that one. They know you're tired, so they're discovering you in your humanity. They're discovering you, and then they start to test you. They test you. And if you help them during their discovery, now I know what most of us want to do with our teenagers is we want to wrap them up in duct tape and lock them in jail and not let them go nowhere. But you don't want to do that because you'll delay their discovery and conclusion drawing. You'll delay their discovery and testing. And when they get out of your sight, like at college, they'll be buck wild. You ain't never been around some wild teenagers till you've been around some wild teenagers who was never allowed to do nothing because they were saved. Well, let me take a sip of water after that one. Now, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of the wildest heathen 18, 19-year-old folk you know is folk who was raised in a church house where you couldn't go nowhere and do nothing and say nothing, and everything you did, you snuck behind your mama's back and climbed out the window. Y'all better say something to me in this room. The Lord will start striking you for lying. We did stuff, they just didn't know. Because their decision about our teenage discovery was to lock us in jail. But please know, they are going to discover and they're going to test. Then hopefully they can draw the right conclusions. Sometimes that conclusion drawing takes longer than you want it to. I don't know why I went through all of that, but something has happened with my sons in which it's clicked. It's clicked. With two of my sons, it's clicked. One of my sons is a genius, so it's always been clicking for him. But for these two boys, AJ and Robert, there's something that's clicked now, and you can see it. It's like they get it. They get it. I just want you to know, everybody's dealing with it. Everybody dealing with it, right, Walt? Everybody dealing with it. They get it, get it. It's all of a sudden I can see it. He gets it. It's clicked. Something has happened to the car that he drives. And he's supposed to drive this car and keep getting ready to go back to school. I'm about to drive this car and the car's not working. And we're trying to, are we going to fix it again? And a hoopty will push you to a point where you start to have to make decisions. I don't know if you've ever had a hoopty that pushes you to decisions. Talk to me. You have a hoopty decision to make. Anybody ever been at a hoopty decision level? Because the car is only worth about $1,800. Y'all know. The car is only worth about $2,300. But to fix it gonna be 18, and you just put 500 in it yesterday. And so now a hoopty will push you to that decision where now you've got to figure out, do I want to fix this hoopty or do I want to take the 1800 and put that towards something else? Talk to me. Hoopties will do that to you. And his car put us to a hoopty decision. And I said to him, all right, well, what we're going to do is we're going to give you Kayla's car. Looks like we're going to have to get a new car, but we're going to give you Kayla's car. And Kayla's going to get a new car. Now, in the past, this arrangement has caused a small little attitude. Oh, Kayla, blah, blah, blah. I said, Because there's a little part of me that's like, yeah, well, Kayla's going to get a new car. You're going to get a Kayla's car. It's nice. You're going to get Kayla's car. And she's going to get a new car. You're going to get Kayla's car. And he said, yeah, okay. And I said to him, which is why I told all of this. I said to him, because all of these cars are mine. I was almost anticipating him getting a little attitude. So I said, because all of these cars are mine. It ain't really nobody getting a car. Every car is mine. And I said to him, because what's yours is mine. And he said, yeah, I know. And when I saw that click in his eyes, he said, yeah, I know. I said, but son, look at me. He looked at me. He said, I know what you're going to say. And it made me almost want to cry because he was like, I know what you're going to say. I said, no. I'm telling you that what's yours is mine. But you don't have to be upset about that. You're my son. You're not a servant. You're not a slave. That's not the situation. What is yours is mine. And because you are my son, what's mine is yours. Oh, my Lord. If you're mad about that, you should only be mad about that if you're not a son. But if you're a son, if you're a daughter, then what's yours is mine. But you know what else? What is mine is yours. And everything you see me working for, and everything you see me collecting, and every dime you see me saving, it ain't for me, boy. I'm 53. I'm getting close to the end. This is not for me. This is for you. Because I have grown past the ignorant perspective of most colored people. I don't expect you to start all the way over from your own bootstraps. I'm going to get you as close. I'm going to give you the biggest head start I can, because that's what folk with money do. Can I get a witness in here? You don't have to worry about what I have, because everything I have is yours. She'd be glad if you see me buy a new watch, because you probably will be wearing it. Don't be mad if you see me buy a new car, because I'll probably be giving it to you. Don't be upset if you see this house. I want you to start picking up around this house, because really, this is your house. I can't live here forever. I'm working myself as hard as I can. I'm going to pay this thing off. I'm going to leave this to y'all. I want y'all to go to school so you can be as smart as you possibly can be, so that you can know how to manage and handle the stuff that I leave you, because I do not plan to leave you with debt. I do not plan to leave you broke. I do not plan for you to be like me. I do not plan for you to have to move nowhere and start all the way over. I do not plan for you to be scared for the rest of your life. I don't plan for you to be scared of white people. I don't plan for you to be scared of the police. I don't plan for you to be scared of the government. I don't plan for you to be scared of America. I don't plan for you to have to go to school to get a job. I want you to go to school so you can do something that you love and something that you enjoy. I want you to go play basketball. Send me your money, boy, from overseas. I'll save it up. Come back here. We'll get you a business and find you a wife. I'll be here to help you, because my plan for you is for you to prosper and be in good health. I know the plans I have for you. They're not to harm you. They're to bless you. Can I get a witness in the building? We talk about this too much around God and don't understand that it's here for us to do it for our seed. Something wrong with you if you're not thinking about who you're going to leave your children's children's children. Something's bothering you. Something is missing from you if you don't look at your babies and think, I'm going to set you up, boy. You ain't gonna have to struggle like me. What is mine is yours. What is yours is mine. Anybody see the point that I'm making? Anybody see the point that I'm making? Anybody see the point that I'm making? I'm preaching kingdom to you. And that Jesus is saying, yeah, see, even if For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. If I'm a child of God, if I'm a son of God, then what's God's is my, what's mine's is his. For the Lord to say to us, it's all mine. Shouldn't be any problem when I take up this offering in 5 minutes. Shouldn't be any problem because everything belongs to God. Everything you have belongs to God. Your limbs belong to God. The activity of your body belongs to God. Everything you are able to do belongs. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be able to move. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be able to talk. It's nothing but a miracle from the Lord that you have not got struck, you have not been hit, you have not been hurt. If you are walking around right now, it is nothing but God that you are not paralyzed from the neck down. It is nothing but God that you have the ability to talk and draw. It is nothing but God that you have the ability to create wealth. It is nothing but God. That is God. God is the one who has done that. God is the one. Matter of fact, God has made a system that's so powerful that even heathens benefit from it. I said to AJ, what's yours is mine and what's mine is yours. So for Jesus to suggest that the kingdom is yours just makes sense to me. Makes sense to me for Jesus to say, for thine is the kingdom. That I'm not accumulating kingdom just for me to walk around thinking about kingdom. I came to destroy the works of the devil, and I came to establish relationship with God. And I came to establish a relationship with God that is a father-child relationship, so that you will say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Y'all are thinking about this thing all wrong. I want you to see that God is your Father. And what's his is yours. And what's yours is his. If he says, if I say to my son, what you got? We were somewhere, and I don't know where we were, and we were somewhere, and I was with my son Kerwin. My son Kerwin always got a little money in his wallet, and I needed cash, and I said, Kerwin, what you got? And Kerwin just pulled his wallet right out and just reached right in, and I needed a 20, and so he just reached right out and gave me a 20, and I said, thank. I didn't have to ask him for it. He just pulled right out and gave me a 20, and he should just reach on out and gave me a 20 because the 20 in his wallet is mine. Now, he is one of the most brilliant people I know, so I know one of these days his money will be his money. Right now, his money is my money. One of these days, it's always funny, Walt, whenever they buy me something on Father's Day, because really, I almost want to say, what a wonderful Father's Day present I gave me. You'll really give him a present. I'm looking at your boys. You'll really give me a present when you got a job and you're making your money and your career. Now then you can give me a present then. I said, hey, give me a 20. He gave me a 20 out his wallet because it's mine. He gave it without thinking. He immediately responded, gave me the 20. I know he gave me the 20 because he's at this place of maturity and he knows everything in his wallet is mine. But I needed a 20. That was a reason why I needed cash. I was trying to tip someone because I believe in tipping well. And I only had $5, and I didn't want to give the person $5. I wanted to give them 20 because I want them to remember me. So I didn't have a 20. So I said, give me what you got. He gave me the 20, opened up his wallet. He had some small bills and a 20, and he gave me the 20, and I gave the 20 to the guy so I could tip well and give him a 20. He gave it to me without thinking about it. He didn't know what was going to happen. Because I needed a 20. And I didn't need a 20 because I didn't have no money. I needed a 20 because I needed a 20. But I remembered that I took a 20 from him. And when we got inside the airport, I reached in my pocket and I pulled a $100 bill out and I gave him a $100 bill to replace the 20 I took from him. See, y'all was supposed to praise on that part right there. I gave him more than what he gave me, because what is his is mine and what is mine is his. I didn't need his 20 because I didn't have no money. I needed his 20 because I needed a 20. But since he gave so willingly, since he didn't ask me what I needed it for, since he didn't have no kind of attitude, since he wasn't upset about it, since he was just so generous, since he quickly pulled his wallet out, since there was no kind of attitude about it, something came over me that said, even though everything you have is mine, because of your willingness, let me bless you. Because what's yours is mine. But you know what? What's mine's is yours. Everything I have is yours. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. I got to deal with the passage because I read it at the beginning and I need to exegete it so I won't get in trouble with the people that taught me. But in verse 19, Jesus says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Sound a lot like ownership to me. Talk to me, world overcomers. Talk to me around the world. Put something in the comments. Sounds like Jesus is pretty serious. Sounds like the idea that the kingdom belongs to us isn't that far-fetched. Because Jesus said to Peter, you're Peter, and on this rock I will go build my church, and the gates of death will not stop the church. Hades means death won't stop the church. It's not hell. We love to say hell, but it's not hell. It's that death won't stop the church. How will death not stop the church? The way that death doesn't stop the church is Jesus says, I'm going to give the keys of the kingdom to you. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That sounds like power to me. That sounds like kingdom and power. That sounds like kingdom and power. He says, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but that was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. And you know what? I'm going to give y'all the keys to the kingdom. And what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Meaning, I'm going to give you access to heaven so that heaven can impact earth. I'm going to give you the way for kingdom to happen, meaning take heavenly kingdom power and impact the earth realm. Jesus promises keys to access heaven's power into earthly influence. In other words, Jesus says, let me tell y'all how to get heaven on your side. Now, you don't need heaven on your side if you're going to heaven. If you're on your way to heaven, you don't need keys to the kingdom and bind on earth and bound in heaven and loose on earth and loose in heaven. If all the focus is just spiritual, then Jesus paid the price and you came and get baptized and take communion and you're good. Jesus didn't promise power for heaven. He didn't just promise power for church. He said, I'm going to give you kingdom keys. And what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And I'm going to teach you how to get heavenly power to access heavenly power to impact. impact the marketplace, to impact the business world, to impact the earthly world. I'm going to teach you how to take heavenly power and turn it into earthly influence so that you can pray and then prosper. I pray for that right now over everybody in the room. I pray for that for everybody under the sound of my voice, that you will pray and prosper. We were raised by folk who prayed but didn't necessarily prosper. Well, but I'm praying that you will pray and prosper. Can you receive that? I'm praying that you will pray and prosper. I'm praying that you have been in this service and tomorrow you will prosper. I'm praying that you will have watched us live stream around the world and tomorrow something going to happen. Door going to open. Something's going to take place for you. You're going to get a contract. There's going to be some money that's going to come. Something's about to take place in your life. There's a job that's about to happen. There's a door that's about to open. You about to get a witty invention. You about to get an idea. I'm praying that the heavenly power will create earthly influence, and just as a result of the anointing of God, favor will be on your life. And somebody will say, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm giving it to you. And then you'll say, wow, look at what my prayer did. It didn't just bless me for church, it blessed me for life. That's what I see when I look at Matthew 16. I see keys to kingdom power. And when I say keys to kingdom power, I mean kingdom power to impact culture. I mean kingdom power to access money. I mean kingdom power to access wealth. I mean kingdom power to access property. I was waiting to see who's gonna wave at me. I mean kingdom power to access contracts. I'm saying kingdom power to access blessing that I can leave an inheritance to my children's child. I'm talking about kingdom power where there's just an angel on my shoulder and he's not just here to protect me from a demon. He is here to go before me and be in the room with me and be in the boardroom with me and nudge somebody and nudge their angel, and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, hook my boy up. And I'm talking about kingdom power so that I sell more than everybody else and gain more than everybody else and walk in an influence more than everybody else, and folk look at me and don't like me and I'm mad about it and upset about it, and I can say, if it had not been for God on my side, if God had not made this way for me, I wouldn't have what I have. And I take people through a house and say, and God made a way for me, and God opened the door for me, and God did this thing for me. And I wasn't even thinking about this, but I drove down this street and I don't know why, and I saw the sign on this door and I went up to it and found out this was in foreclosure. And then I found out that I knew somebody who owned this, and I knew somebody that, and I wish I could say it was me, but if there be any praise, let it go to Calvary. Can I get somebody to say, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. Let that be, yes, God, yes, God. Let that be. Let it be. Let it be. Let me access a power that opens up a door so that kingdom comes. That like David, I'll find myself going from the pasture to the palace. I speak it, I speak it, I speak it. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. I speak it, I speak it. Like Esther, somebody else will be rejected. And like Esther, I will somehow find myself number two in the company, number two in the kingdom, number two in the industry, number two in the, that I was just doing the small stuff, and I found myself accessing kingdom power. When I look at it, I see these five keys to kingdom power. And when I say kingdom power, I don't mean church power. I mean access, blessing, financial strength, business, money-making power. It's right here in the Word. Five keys to kingdom power. For you to get them, though, you're going to have to come next Sunday. Can we give to the work of the kingdom of God? Can you put your hands together and bless the Lord? Can we give to the work of the kingdom of God? Can I get you to give? This is your tithes. This is your offering. But it's also the offering. I've been taking up an offering at the end, and I want us to give one of the biggest offerings we ever have. I want you to open up your wallet and give God your 20, because I believe God is going to replace that with something that's more than you have ever seen before in your life. And if you need an offering envelope, you can simply raise your hand. If you want to give by way of check, you can, but you don't have to. There's a little QR code. The QR code is right there, right now in the room. If you're here with us for the very first time, we don't want you to feel compelled to give. You're a guest. But if you're thinking to yourself, well, if I give God a 20, who knows what God will give me back? Because there's a whole lot of us that have that as a witness. I wish I had a witness in the building. There's a whole lot of us have been in a service since then. Some preacher said, well, I need something, and we gave it, and God gave us back 10 times what we gave. The Lord just needed it at that moment. It's not that God has needed your money. It's just that the ministry needed it at that moment, and we're at a point right now where we need you to be generous and give to the work of the kingdom of God. And so if this is the time when you normally tithe, you're watching live stream around the world, the QR code is there, and you can take a picture of it. It's on your screen. If this is the time when you normally give, now if you've set it up automated to do it, hallelujah, you can automate it to do it, and it's already done. Some of you have already given, so now you can give an offering to the work of the kingdom of God. But if this is the time when you give, I want you to, if you take a picture of that QR code, and I was talking to Pastor Al, and he was saying, PA, some of us was just getting used to the whole, and I said, me too, man, I didn't know. But if you just take your camera, you know, it's nothing special, beloved. If you just take your camera and just take a, just focus the camera on the QR code that's on the envelope, or the QR code that's on the bucket, we're putting them on the bucket, or the QR code, look, we blew it up for you. If you just take a picture of that, it will immediately take you to the online giving platform. If you've never done it before, you put information in one time and you'll be able to give to the work of the kingdom of God from now on. If you do it all the time, then you can pull it up just from that QR code and you can give. If your tithes have already been given, I need you to give an offering. If you're watching around the world, tithes have already been given, I need you to give an offering. God is saying, I need 20 from you. God is saying, I need 50 from you real quick. I guarantee you, you can't beat God giving, because what is His is yours, and what is yours is His. Everything you have belongs to Him. Everything you have belongs to God. I said, everything you have belongs to God. I'm giving folk time to give. I want you to give an offering. I want you to give your tithe. I want you to give your offering around the world, wherever you may be. In Africa, we need you. In India, we need you. You're giving to the kingdom. We are the universal body of Christ. Stretches across the entire planet. There are even giving boxes on the way out the door. If you're giving by way of check or cash in an envelope, and you don't want to touch anyone, that's okay. There are giving boxes at the door. You can use those. But one of the easiest ways is for you to give. Download the MyWOCC app today. You can give through the app. You take that QR code picture right there. Those of you that are watching live stream right now, you can give to the work of the kingdom of God. This ain't Netflix. Can't get in on somebody else's code. It's not Amazon Prime. This is the work of the kingdom of God. And you give, and it's given unto you again. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will men pour into your lap. Something happens when you give. And I'm asking you to give. I'm not asking you just to be faithful. I'm asking you to be generous more than ever before. First Sunday in September, we're going to have Vision Sunday, and I'm going to lay my vision out to you, all of you. All of you that come to be with us on that Sunday, and all of you that watch around the world, I'm going to lay out the vision that the Lord has given us. We only have about 2 years left on this lease, but we have our land, and we are about to move forward. And I'm going to share the vision with you on September 1st, and I need you to start getting yourself ready, because I'm going to ask you to give above and beyond your tithes to this opportunity that we have to do a work worthy of His name. I'm not asking you to give it to me because I'm just a man. How many men are in the room with me? Raise your hands. Men in the room. Look, that's half the room are men. Come on, raise your hands high, gentlemen. We're men. I'm just a man, just like you. How many men in here? Raise your hands. I'm a man just like you. Any man in here perfect? If you're perfect, put your hand down. Oh, don't. Put that hand back. Somebody's wife said, get your hand up, boy. Put your hand up. All of us who are men, I'm just a man. You can't give it to me. I'm not going to be here forever. We're here for in the kingdom for just such a time as this. Mordecai said to Esther, perhaps you've come to the kingdom for just such a time as this. Perhaps you have come to your wealth for just such a time as this. Perhaps the Lord spared your money for just such a time as this. Perhaps COVID affected everybody else, but you come for just such a time as this. Perhaps you just got that new position for just such a time as this. This is the time in which you're going to give something to God. Above and beyond your tithes, I'm going to be asking you. I need you to start getting yourself ready. But right now, let's give. Come on, let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this opportunity that we have to give. Lord, I thank you for the folk that are in the room with me. Thank you, Lord God, for this 1,000 or so that are in the room with us, 700, 800 or so that are in the room with us. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for every seat, and we're believing that it'll be full as we keep moving forward. I'm believing you, God, for every person under the sound of my voice, every person that's watching around the world, every person that is watching this service, whatever time it may be, because it could be Tuesday for somebody or Thursday, or somebody may be at work right now and aren't even with us live. For everyone that's live, for everyone that's watching at whatever time they are watching, give us keys to the kingdom. Give us access to the kingdom. God, we've decided to believe that the kingdom is ours, that power is ours, that glory is ours. Let the glory of the Lord rest on us. The anointing that destroys the yoke and sets the captive free. Take this offering and multiply it supernaturally to the upbuilding of your kingdom. And with the measure you use, may it be measured unto us. We promise to praise you for what you do and what you say. God, you're so worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. We all said together, God bless you as you give. As the bucket passes you, or as you click the button on your phone or whatever, just jump on your feet with us this morning. Thank you so much for being with us. Was it glad? Anybody glad they came to church today? Anybody glad? I asked a question. Anybody glad? Anybody believe in God for a miracle? Anybody got a peace on the inside? I got a peace on the inside. Well, I got a peace on the inside. I think God has moved for me. I feel like God has moved. Dion, you feel that? I feel that. Frida, you feel that? I feel that. I feel a peace. I feel that. Pastor, how you feel that? Put your hands on your stomach. Do you feel that? I want you to know God is moving. God has heard your prayer. God has heard your cry. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry out to thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Hallelujah. Come on, let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you and honor you for our time together. Thank you for this group that came together today. Thank you for your anointing that destroys the yoke. Thank you that your hand is on us for good. Thank you that no weapon formed against us can prosper. Thank you, Lord God, that every tongue raised up against us must be stilled. We are leaning on you. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. We are leaning on you. Safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, 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 leaning. Dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. Cover us with your blood. Watch over us. Be our God. We'll be your people. Promise to praise you for what you do. God, as I always pray, bless your people. Make your face shine upon your people. Be gracious to your people in this room and in every room around the world. Be gracious to us. Give us peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. We all sit together. Amen. God bless you. Greet somebody in the name of the Lord. Give somebody a holy hug. Elbow somebody.